You know, this is an interesting jobs report, and we're getting a lot of interesting data right now that's coming out, and I would call it mixed at best. You know, one of the things that that we want to be paying attention to here is the fact that unemployment was better than, well, it came up a little bit, but that is ultimately 27 months. This, as you said, under 4%. But here's reality.
You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to and watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm your host, Carrie Lutz. Hey, we're concluding the first week of March. We just got a State of the Disunion address. And what does it mean for the market? What does it mean to your portfolio and your future retirement prospects, assuming you're going to retire at some point? Well, our good friend David Strazewski is with us now to opine and give us his take on it. David, it's great to have you back. So tell us, we've had, you know, how many months? 27 months of unemployment below 4%, and the market should be booming, right?
Hey, well, great to be with you here, Carrie, as always. You know, this is an interesting jobs report, and we're getting a lot of interesting data right now that's coming out, and I would call it mixed at best. You know, one of the things that that we want to be paying attention to here is the fact that unemployment was better than, well, it came up a little bit, but that is ultimately 27 months, just as you said, under 4%. But here's reality. The headline number that we get on a report like this has been revised down all of the last 12 months. And then if we look at the prior ones to that, there was only like one or two that did not get revised down. So the only thing that's been consistent with the numbers from this administration is that they get revised down. And in this case, the amazing numbers that we just had in January, Carrie, were you know, that led to this huge bull market and everyone's talking about soft landing and it's priced to perfection. That just got revised down 1/3 of the jobs that it said it was supposed to get. So I just don't understand how we're in a time frame where AI is so intelligent. We've got all the best technology. The bean counters at the Fed has more economists than any other organization, and they can't figure this out with any level of accuracy.
Yeah, funny how that works, but they're so good. They've been guiding the economy and keeping us, keeping it going all this time. I think the economy going has more to do with the rest of the world being in more horrible shape than the U.S. and a flood of flight capital, especially from China, coming into the U.S. That's my feeling.
Yeah, I do. I can agree with that sentiment. I think that, you know, if we look at how the numbers for unemployment would be measured, you just think about a fraction. You know, on the numerator, you've got all the possible people that could be working. And then on denominator, it's all the jobs that are open. And what happened to the numerator here, and that is the amount of people in the workforce, is that we had the great resignation occur in 2021 and 2022. And so many boomers retired much quicker than they had anticipated, just due to COVID and various things that were taking place. And here's where this gets a little bit interesting, and that is, you know, oh my goodness, our unemployment is so low. Well, you know, whether we're talking about the amount of people that are working or the amount of jobs that are open, the point is we have a very different economy pre-2020, post-2020. So let's have 2020 vision and let's look backward in time and let's recognize that there's fewer people working right now. And I'll just say this as well, from the handful of families that I've just touched base with here in the last week, knowing that I was going to have a conversation with you about unemployment, I said, hey, how's this going? And I have literally talked to three particular gentlemen that were looking for jobs. These are highly qualified people. They say it is nearly impossible today to be a white male and to find a job in corporate America. And so I think that unemployment being so low, well, guess what? The jobs that are open right now may or may not be the jobs that people are looking for, or they're not really looking for the people out there that are truly looking and seeking for employment.
Yeah, well, you know what they say about about statistics, right?
and they lie.
Yeah. So, what are we to make of it then? How do we prepare for this uncertain future? That's really, what are you supposed to do?
Well, I think you have to answer that question by looking at the Fed, you know, because all eyes are on the Federal Reserve. And what are they going to do? Are they going to be cutting rates? And if you recall, you know, last July, we were certain that rates were going to be dropped. And that's why we rallied so significant through Q1. And of course, that didn't happen. We've not even had one rate cut yet. So here's where we're looking at it. You know, where do we go? What do we do? In my opinion, we need to understand what the data is saying, and they're anticipating double digit GDP growth this year, meaning that the United States is going to grow double digits for sure, and that's over the next 2 years, even double digit returns. Maybe we get something in the mid singles, and by the way, you know, that's not inflation adjusted. So, given inflation, that would just maybe say that we're remaining about buoyant. But I don't know how you get to stock cuts right now or big rate cuts when stocks are at all time highs, when gold's at all time highs, when Bitcoin's at all time highs. You know, that's the Dow Jones, the S&P, and the Nasdaq, the Nikkei from Japan. 34 years it's been till it's been at its all time high. It's there right now. So the whole world is at all-time highs. How do you cut? It's not bad enough yet. So how do you play this thing? I think you've got to understand the fact that there's a lot that can go wrong from here. And so depending upon your age and the timing of when you're retiring and you need these dollars, et cetera, you know, there's different plans and strategies that you're going to want to deploy. I think it is incredibly important, though, do not forget that we need anchors in these markets, because if things go backwards and we actually get the lag effect, which, you know, we've been waiting for from the Fed, hey, raise rates so fast, when does this lag effect officially kick in and things really start to get bad? I'm personally believing that we are going to see that before the 4th of July for sure in the data. I think it's coming out right now. I think the second part of the year is going to be much bloodier than the first part, and there's going to be a lot more losers than winners, but there will certainly be some opportunities.
All right. Well, there's always winners and losers in everything, right?
Yes, sir.
Everything the government does. So gold prices, record highs. They're up like another $20, $30 today. I have to go consult my Kitco website. Yeah, it's up to $21.90. It's up $30 today on the spot market. So what is gold trying to tell us here?
Well, interesting facts. Okay, so gold is priced in U.S. dollars. So what this tells me is that the U.S. dollar is actually getting weaker, so much so that gold is now priced, even though they're trying to depress the price, it's at all-time highs right now. How can you say that we're in a disinflation environment when gold's at all-time highs? It's just the oxymoron statements. It doesn't work like that. So we have to look through the data and the numbers here. But I'm looking at it, Carrie. 89.3 silver to gold. Now, that gold to silver ratio tells me that, in my personal opinion, silver is the most underrated commodity in the world right now. And I think gold leads, silver follows. Gold's going to be a great play here for the rest of the year. But the miners that have been beat up for probably almost the last two decades, if I can be honest, they are undervalued right now. I think that they're positioned extremely well for the future. We have to have metals if we are going to be able to electrify the world. So copper is an example. We're going to need uranium if we're going to get baseload for electricity. We need gold and silver. These are real assets that the central banks are buying right now at thousands of tons annually. And so if we just follow the money, I think that it starts to show us where value is probably truly found, and it's likely not in the U.S. dollar or treasuries.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's found in any currency anywhere on the planet. Do you?
No, and this is part of the reason why Bitcoin's up so high, right? And so and that is not good for the U.S. dollar. Bitcoin's an alternative payment, and the concept of that is a really, really, really important thing for people to understand, because everything is changing right now. The Federal Reserve is behind. They've been out of it. They've missed it every step along the way. I'm obviously very critical of them, just given even what we're celebrating here in 3 days, Carrie, with this bank term funding program expiring, as you know, the biggest bank bailout in the United States history happened last year. And that's a part of the reason why we didn't get into the recession that was supposed to come,
right?
Because we bailed it out. Well, what's coming next? Guess what? These banks are on the verge right now, and so are many of these corporations that are pleading with the government, please drop interest rates. We can't afford to keep this going if we can't get cheaper interest rates. It's not going to happen.
Okay. So just a couple of things. New York Community Bank.
Yeah.
All right. They just got a $1 billion lifeline. So the banking crisis, not over yet. Mm-hmm. And the commercial real estate collapse, I think it's probably already happened. It's already out there. And now they're just picking up pieces to it, right? But it's definitely real, and it's hit these banks. And I actually knew this guy who is the CEO. He used to belong to the Community Bankers Association in New York. I did work for banks when I was in my former life as an attorney. But you know, this is just the beginning. I mean, if you believe in such things, some guy had a near-death experience, and he said that basically there would be a banking collapse in 2024, and that we would go to CBDCs, central bank digital currencies, and that we would be, you know, controlled and all this other stuff. But then in 2028, Donald Trump would be elected president, and he would give us back, you know, money, paper money. So I don't believe this for 2 seconds, but it sure is kind of funny. And this came out like a couple years ago about this guy with his NDE. You know, it's crazy. We're insane times here, David.
Yeah, when you think of narratives like this, and we, you know, what that dream was considering could feel like a reality right now, at least parts of it, you know. So it's an interesting thing to be you know, considering some of that. One of the parts I just want to note real quick, and this is something that I don't think is on a lot of people's radar, and of course we're talking about unemployment here today, is this. When corporations get debt, they tend to be on 5-year terms, although they're paying a 30-year amortized schedule. Well, every good CFO would have refinanced all the debt and got you in the probably more debt than you've ever been in, you know, in 2020 and 2019, sure. 2021. Okay, that's every good CFO. Well, here's the part to note, and that is we got just shy of $1 trillion coming due in debt this year. There's like $1.5 trillion next year, and the year after that, slightly more, and the year after that, slightly more than that. Well, when you get within the last 12 months or 1 year of the expiration date, or you have to renew that loan, that becomes a near-term or short-term liability. What does that mean? It changes the fundamentals of your balance sheet very significantly. And so if we understand where many of these corporations are right now, I believe that when they look at that balance sheet and those revisions are adjusted because of the new near-term liabilities that either need to get paid off in full or refinanced at probably twice the payment that they're paying right now, at least twice, they're going to be unemploying people. And so expect that next month, when unemployment starts showing up, that these numbers are going to go above 4. Because if we're at 3.9 right now, 4 is the next ticker. And so, you know, I don't know that we're in such a hot and strong unemployment market. I mean, President Biden told us that there's record numbers of businesses being started right now. I don't see that. I don't see him, you know, spiking the ball at, yeah, you know, I've got the best, you know, unemployment ever.
You know what there's record numbers of businesses being started for? To handle the flood of illegal aliens that are getting sucked into the country here. Hey, and so gold, obviously, and it's not like we're Johnny come latelys to this, right. And I don't think it's also that we're stop clock. I mean, I buy Bitcoin, I buy a little bit, not a lot, every Sunday night I buy it,
mm-hmm.
And I'm up 70%, you know, in the past 6 weeks, so I must be a genius, huh?
Yeah. You know, when everything's, I guess to quote Warren Buffett, he says, when the tide comes in, all ships rise. But when the tide goes out, you find out who's swimming naked. So I like the idea of dollar cost averaging. I like your strategy there on the weekly. I've personally done daily dollar cost averaging in just because the crypto market moves so fast. And so you're getting,
thing.
Yeah. So Coinbase is pretty, they make it pretty easy to do that.
$100. You do $100. If you can afford $100 a day, do $100 a day. You know, now that you mention it, Mm-hmm. That is what I think I'm going to do, because I firmly believe this thing's going over 100K.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen predictions of 220K. My problem with Bitcoin,
yeah,
and I've followed it for over a dozen years here,
okay,
before anybody, is I've always been masterful at picking out the peaks, but the bottoms I've missed totally.
Yeah.
All right. But I understand it is a market, but it's a different kind of market than most of you out there are used to. But now is the time, because it's eclipsed its former high. All right. It's been making higher lows, and now it's making higher highs. This is the time when something like this goes up. I knew when it hit 67.7 last time, I nailed it to the day. When it hit 19.7 in 2019, I believe it was. Or was it 2017? I nailed it to the day.
Wow.
And, you know, I nailed it. There's no question. But I've been bad on the buys. But then I just said dollar cost average. When it does a retrace of 50% from its high, get into it, because I've always expected it to go lower and do a two-thirds retracement, and it's never done it. 50% is about the best that you can do. And, you know, it hit like 29,000. So it hit, you know, 58%. Doesn't matter. When you see it halve, you got to get into it.
But absolutely.
Everyone's going to follow their own financial advisor and all that. But what do you think of the spot ETFs at this point, David?
Well, here's what's a wonderful thing about them, is that they're opening up a whole new consumer group that was not there before. And if you understand the reality that people just have been skeptical about Bitcoin in general, because they're like, well, I hear about it, but I don't really understand it. I mean, it basically takes the most complicated parts about computers and puts them and money and puts it all together in one idea. And so a lot of people just don't like that. But when you go to the spot ETF and you can purchase that through, you know, your Charles Schwab account, then now that opens up a lot of institutional money that's going to be pouring in. So this is why we're seeing the pump prior to this April 20th halving that's going to be occurring. And, you know, yeah, I think it's going to be going up very substantially. And, you know, it's interesting, too, because this is the market leader. You should be paying attention as well to some of these alternative coins that are, you know, rallying so significantly, because this is where I'm personally making way higher percentages, although I own a very significant chunk of my crypto portfolio inside of Bitcoin. And I am a very substantial investor in this, as I've been doing so for the last 2 years, and it represents a significant part of my net worth at this point.
Right. So I was talking with Mark Skousen, I don't know if you know him, big libertarian guy, runs Freedom Fest every year. I'm going to be there this year in Vegas. And he put together a chart. For the past 10 years, he said, or maybe it was 11 years, 8 years, Bitcoin has been far and away the best performing investment, including this year. Mm-hmm. And 3 years, it has been the worst performing asset. So this is a dogs of the crypto play here. When it's the dog, you jump in. I mean, you know, I'm a little late to the game, but I've made money on crypto before. Look, I never stuck with it long enough because I never thought that it was going to go this high. But others did, and they had me beat. And there's crypto billionaires out there. So, but understand, volatile market, and it can be shut down anytime the world's governments get together and decide they don't want it anymore. David, we got to get going. So, just give us your final pearl of wisdom on cryptos, gold, stock market.
I'd watch this. You know, the world is changing right now very rapidly. And so I think that it's important that we do gain a thesis. We've got some ideas. I don't think that there's one idea that we should go all in on, all eggs in one basket, but rather a combination of diversity. I think most people recognize that there could be something with this blockchain technology. I personally believe that it is a more efficient and effective way of the future. I think that these altcoins are a lot of them going to be the technology and algorithms that we're ultimately going to be using for apps and transactions and such in the future. If you look at the central bank digital currency scenario and what's going to be happening right now with BRICS Pay, people can just Wikipedia that. They're looking, I believe, this is speculation, I believe that they're looking at utilizing Ripple and Stellar within their system. If that happens, those are going to go parabolically up in pricing. So take a look at those for yourself. And personally, that wasn't financial advice, though. And then as well, as far as the, because they don't allow us to do it here.
No. Hey, you know. Any advice you get here applies to us and us only, not to you. You got to consult your financial advisor. And I always give that disclaimer. I used to tell people, if you follow any advice I give you, you will definitely lose money, at least in the short term. Unfortunately or fortunately, that has turned around dramatically. I mean, David, $2,200 gold, $2,300 gold. It's parabolic, which means you need a pullback, but the pullback's going to be short, fierce, and that's when you jump in with 2 feet, load up the truck.
Yeah, and I think that silver is really the opportunity on that metal side
right now. I love the shiny metal.
Mm-hmm. So that's my personal deal, and I like physical. You can hold ETFs. Yeah, physical for
and
sure.
And physical. Hold some physical metals because, look, I bought most of my silver after the collapse in 09, 10, and 11, and my average cost was around $7, $8 an ounce.
Outstanding.
I bought some more recently at 20, at 17, 18, but once it goes below 20. But hey, that's me. That's you.
Yep.
You have to decide. Everybody's position is different. That's why you need a financial advisor like David. David, tell us where we find you, how we connect with you.
Hey, great. So probably the best place to connect with us right now is just to go to FedBubble.com. FedBubble.com. So FedBubble.com is just literally saying, hey, I'm calling this the Federal Reserve bubble. That's what's coming next. We name things based upon the cause of the issue. And so that's what I'm calling it. And so we're helping people to navigate this difficult time. And the last thing I'll just note here, Kerry, is when I've got my book coming out here in the next 30 days, it's called Riding Bulls and Taming Bears, Investing for Retirement in the 21st Century. And so what we're going to be doing here is you put your name into the FedBubble.com. We'll let you know as those things are coming out. I'll even share some of the first chapters with folks. And
great.
You know,
hey, make sure you send me a book. I'll review it for you. By the way, I've started a new site. I don't know that it's been populated yet. It's called inflation.cafe. And just so you know, like I went to a certain undisclosed coffee shop and my drink was $7. And I looked, I was like really pissed. And then they only filled it up halfway. And I say to the manager, like, what gives here? What are you doing? And it's like, he just shrugs and they give me a new drink. I said, you know, you guys are not in the business of selling coffee. You sell inflation because your coffee has doubled in about 4 years.
Yeah.
And thus was born the idea for the Inflation Cafe. I am your personal barista who will help prepare all the measures necessary for you to navigate the cafe. And the tagline is real simple. The Inflation Cafe, where dollars go to die. So on that note, inflation.cafe, keep checking back. It'll be up soon. David, appreciate you coming on as always. We'll talk to you next month. You be well.
All right. Pleasure, Kerry. Look forward to talking with you soon. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.